Web streaming of 90.3 WPLN-FM is made possible by listener support and by Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the promise of discovery. Learn how you can support this service at NashvillePublicRadio.org.
Support for Car Talk and NPR comes from NPR member stations and
Lumber Liquidators,
supporting the Ronald McDonald House Charities, the National Braille Press, and NPR.
Information at lumberliquidators.com. And
the Annie E. Casey Foundation, with Kids Count, national, state, and local data on the well-being of kids at datacenter.kidscount.org. And
Esurance.
Their mobile app lets customers start their car insurance claims and see photos of their car repairs. Yeah, I know. You'd rather see photos of someone else's car.
It's less depressing.
Esurance, an Allstate company. Welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Home Economics Department here at Car Talk Plaza.
I majored in economics, you know.
Yes. Home or other?
Other.
Not domestic, but foreign.
I have a list of things here sent to us by someone. And the title is Signs Found in Kitchens, but I think it's more like, this could be like T-shirt even things, you know?
Slogans. Witticisms?
Here's one, for example, a husband is someone who takes out the trash and gives the impression he just cleaned the whole house. How true. I mean, I did it just yesterday. I came back in, sat down at the table. He one of these, whew.
Like you had just slain a dragon.
And Joy says to me, "What?" I said, "Took out the trash."
Yeah.
She says, yeah, duh.
But it's a jungle out there.
It's a jungle out there. Okay, here's another one. Thou shalt not weigh more than thy refrigerator. My next house will have no kitchen, just vending machines.
Well, there's a concept.
And here's my favorite. No husband has ever been shot while doing the dishes. Yeah, that's true. So I guess if you're in danger of getting shot, do the dishes.
Well, our friend Andrea Levitt wants to have, instead of a kitchen with normal appliances, wants to have, you know how some businesses used to have those vacuum systems to suck out the...
Yeah.
And some still do.
Yeah. They would send money, a loose change around.
Right, and then a little container would come back with your change and your receipt.
Yeah, and it always made a lot great noise.
She wants these hooked up to the 6 best takeout restaurants in her town. So you call in your order, and then you open the door, and there's your dinner.
And there it is. Wow. Hey.
That's a concept.
Yeah. Yeah. The internet's got nothing on that.
No, exactly. Right. You're not going to get that out of your computer, that's for sure. Well, look, if you need some car advice, because that's what we're here for, you can call us at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, I'm Kathy calling from Connecticut.
Hi, Kathy.
Kathy with a K?
Kathy with a C. Next time I'm going to have a name that's like Mary, it only starts with an M.
Yeah.
My mother made my life difficult.
Yeah, well, mothers do that.
Tell me. So you ready for my problem? Because I know you're going to help me. If not,
certainly we are. Certainly. Go ahead, Catherine.
I'll tell you my problem. I'm one of the little nice ladies that takes care of my car, flush the antifreeze. It's as clean as a whistle. My head gasket blows at about 46,000 miles, even though the car at that point was about, it's a Nissan Sentra, was about eight and a half years old. So they don't tell me why. They said, well, the car overheated. We don't know why.
You're from Queens?
Well, I'm from Manhattan.
She escaped and she lives in Connecticut.
I escaped. I'm here on good behavior. If not, they send me back.
Manhattan, huh?
Manhattan, the Lower East Side. I'm from a very tough neighborhood.
Yeah, well, you sound tough.
Very tough. Very tough. I don't scare them here in Connecticut, though.
How long ago did you escape?
Well, 12 years.
12 years? No,
it takes two lifetimes.
It takes two
to get rid of the Manhattan accent, especially the Lower East Side.
That's why, you know, I had to think the other day, those witness protection things, they take all those thugs out of New York.
Yeah.
All those guys say, yeah, I take two sugars in my coffee. And they try to relocate them to, like, Billings, Montana.
Yeah.
I mean, are these guys going to fit in?
You know, that might be my next career, witness protection. They think I was on their side.
So your head gasket blew at $46K.
My head gasket blew. It cost me big bucks with some moron that was local because I couldn't drive the car.
Yeah.
So I pay him, so now he gives me a one-year warranty, right? Well, 1 year, 2 months later, we're now at 57,000 miles. Surprise, head gasket blows again.
Really?
So I get it into the dealership here up in Shelton, Connecticut.
Yeah.
Now I'm screaming. I said, what the heck? How could a head gasket blow? When, again, now the car is, you know, almost 10 years old, but I'm taking care of it. It has 57,000 miles. They said, well, the first job wasn't done right because you didn't have it done at the dealer.
Woo-hoo-hoo!
So now we're talking 2000.
Yes, they can hardly wait for these things to happen.
Right, they wait for me. You know, I'm a nice little small person. This they find is very funny. Two grand. For the second head gasket. Now he tells you, don't worry, it's going to be like new. So I live in fear of the car that this happening again, and you know when, as soon as the warranty is over.
Yeah. They didn't give you a year warranty, did they?
They gave me a year.
Yeah.
So I'm getting up there, but this is the problem. When I drive on the highway, which I usually do to go to work, it's fine. You know, the heat gauge is right sort of in the middle, looks great.
Mm-hmm.
So I go into a parking lot. I'm looking for a spot at a building, and I'm not finding a parking spot. So I'm going maybe 7 minutes, you know, stop and go. I'm looking left, right, at a very slow pace. That heat gauge was not into the H area, but almost to the end of that space.
Oh. Had you ever noticed this before, Kathy?
No. Yeah.
This was the first time.
First time. The only time I noticed it was the day that the head gasket blew, because I am pretty observant, and I watched, you know, my speed and so forth.
Yeah.
And I saw it coming up, and that's the day that the head gasket blew.
Now, these guys, can I go back a step?
Please.
Two steps. I would go back two steps.
All right, two
That's
steps.
A Texas dance number.
All right. For $2,000, what did these guys do? They did more than the head gasket.
They did, They did some,
Did they replace the cylinder head? They must have.
Yeah, they did the cylinder head. They also did some other things, like not like a tune-up, but belts that need to be replaced. They said everything's going to be like brand new, perfect. You'll never see us again.
No,
they didn't find the cause. They rather found the effect.
Exactly right.
So and
still got the disease.
The cause is that the fan is not coming on at the right time, I suspect, and cooling the engine off. That's why it overheats when you stopped.
Yes.
Because there's an electric fan that's supposed to come on, operated by a thermostatic control, that's supposed to cool the engine off. So that thing shouldn't get beyond 3/4, and that fan should come on when it gets to 3/4.
So you think it's a fan?
The fan is not working in my estimation.
Yeah.
Either because the thermal sensor is bad, or there's something wrong with the fan, or there's a wire disconnected. It could be in any number of things.
Yeah.
But they'll figure it out. And it's important that they figure it out, because when you allow the engine to get hot, the gasket gets worked. In other words, it gets stretched, because the head stretches more the hotter the engine gets.
Oh, I see.
And when the head stretches and then it cools off and contracts, you're stretching that gasket and then asking it to go back to its original shape. And the more you work it to the limit
like that,
the greater the chance is you're going to break it.
And all of a sudden it just cracks and that's the end of it. It rips.
I see.
First of all, that head gasket should not have blown either of these times.
Right.
This engine is way too young to have...
I know.
Two head gaskets
replaced
already.
I want my money back.
Yeah, well, you know.
Does it have circles under the headlights? Does it need to... Never mind.
Yeah.
Kathy, good luck. Go and yell at these guys.
Hey, thank you much. I really thank you for being there, because, you know, even more for women, that not to be sexist, but I don't trust men with jumpsuits that, you know, I just don't trust them. So I'm very grateful for you guys.
Men in jumpsuits.
You're not wearing a jumpsuit now, are you?
Well, not. No, we do the show naked.
Oh, I thought you were going to say in dresses.
Well, my brother wears leopard skin, but I do the show buck naked. See you, Kathy.
It's a pleasure talking to you. They're going to miss you on the Lower East Side, I'll tell you.
They do. They're coming after me now. I got to hide. Thanks so much.
All right.
So long.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
I want to live next door to her.
Kathy's great.
Not in the same house, just next door.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Spencer. I'm calling from Bellingham, Washington.
So what's up, Spence?
Well, here's the
deal. You mind if we call you Spence?
No, that's not too bad.
What do your friends call you?
Oh, you don't know what...
No, we don't want to know.
All right, so we'll call you Spencer. We don't want to get into things. This is a family show. All right. What's up?
Well, here's the deal. My wife has a 68 BMW 2002, and she and her dad have restored it. And for Christmas, he gave us a fully machined, balanced board, all tricked out, hot rod engine for it.
He did?
Really?
Yeah. And I have to put it together.
Oh, he gave you a kit?
What do you mean he gave you an engine?
You have to put the engine in the car.
No, we took the engine out of the car, and he sent it to the machine shop and had it all tricked out and gave it to us in pieces and said, here you go. You can put it back together.
Oh, this is dangerous.
And your father-in-law expects you to be able to put this together.
Yeah, which I think I can probably do.
Yeah, but he's gonna be awfully disappointed in you, Spence, when you screw this up.
I know, exactly. That's why I'm calling you guys.
Yeah, well, for a small fee, we'll put it together for you.
Jeez.
I mean, you think you're up to this. Have you ever done this before? I mean, it's not really that complicated, but there are plenty of areas where you could make a mistake.
Boy.
Yeah, well, see, I've rebuilt a Toyota engine before.
Oh.
I think I can get all the parts together. My big problem is I'm not sure what to do to break it in.
Well, so you're going to just leap ahead 6 months and assume that you've put all these things together correctly, plunked it back in the car, turned the key, and it actually runs. We're going to make that little assumption.
We're going to make believe that it runs.
All right. I can live with that. I can live with that. Okay, there we are. It's now Christmas.
Right.
And you turn the key, and boom, miraculously, the thing runs. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so what do I do?
What you do is, assuming that it runs and it runs okay and you have adequate oil pressure, you're going to begin driving the thing.
Right.
And the most important thing to do is to vary your speed tremendously.
Okay.
Vary the engine speed tremendously.
Okay.
So you want to go up to, 3,000 RPM or 3,500 and then come down to 15 and up and down and up and down.
Always avoiding very high revs.
Okay.
I wouldn't take it over 3,500 RPM for the first 500 miles or so, and then after that you can do whatever you want.
Oh, okay.
And most importantly, what kind of dog do you have?
He's a husky.
He's a husky. He's a husky bark.
On King! On you huskies!
Well, we're right up here by Canada and everything, so...
Eh?
Eh.
No, what you've got to do... It also has changed the oil often during the braking period.
Yeah, that's the other thing. What kind of oil should I put in it? I mean, not what brand, like what type.
I have no idea what it called for. I would guess it was 10:30.
You know, you may want to consult the BMW. You must belong, or your father almost belonged to the BMW Car Club of America, because I'm sure that those maniacs have all kinds of recommendations. Berman is about to become a member of the BMW Car Club. He doesn't know it. That's what we got him for a wedding present.
Lucky guy.
Dougie is now an owner. You an owner of a BMW?
Yeah. Does it run? No.
Oh, is this what I have to look forward to once I get the engine running?
Oh, yeah.
I think so.
All right.
I think so. But change the oil up to 500 miles. Change it again at 1,500. Don't drive it too hard for the first 500 or 1,000 miles, and after that, do anything you want.
And, in fact, if you do contact the club members and you get 50 different suggestions, forget all of it and take our advice.
Okay.
See you, Spencer.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks for calling. Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, I'm Amy calling from Marshfield, Massachusetts.
Hi, Amy.
Marshfield. I know where that is.
Yes.
Yeah, we used to go muscling there.
Muscling?
In the North River.
Yeah, dangerous place to be.
Is it? Why?
Well, the tides.
Never told us.
Really?
It was our wives who sent us.
We didn't know anything about danger.
Danger?
Yeah, it's a risky place here in Marshfield.
No kidding. Yeah. I thought it was simple.
That's what they said.
They said, go out there, just fill up these bags and buckets.
And sign these papers before you leave. Jeez. Oh, you never can trust anyone.
So
anyway,
what's up?
That's true. Well, I need you to settle a dispute between my husband and me.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. We've taken a vow of poverty so I could stay home with our three kids.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's good.
And as a result, my husband drives a 1992 Plymouth Sundance, and I drive a 1992 Ford Aerostar, which has a lot of wear and tear on it because it used to be a hearse.
Mm. Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, my uncle's.
Was it your uncle's?
An undertaker.
Oh, okay. In other words, it wasn't his service.
He wasn't using it. He was driving it.
Okay,
he
just checking.
He was driving it.
Was he in the front or the back?
In the front.
Were there flowers piled on top?
There's always a funny odor after it rains. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, my question is, both cars need a lot of repairs, and both have a lot of mileage. And I think it's time that we both get new cars. My husband thinks that we should fix them up. Now, the Sundance has over 180,000 miles on it. It needs a new radiator. The sway bar is cracked, and it has a lot of rust.
Okay, that's a goner.
I agree. Well, thank you.
Even without having told us anything, I would have voted against the Sundance.
Yeah. All right, let's try the Aerostar.
Okay, the Hearse has 165,000 miles.
Oh, God.
I just had the front brakes done and the tie rods, but it still needs rear brakes and a tune-up. And a tune-up on an Aerostar is very expensive because it's hard to get to everything.
It is indeed.
Yeah.
You would use the Aerostar just around town?
Just around town.
And how far does your husband drive with the Sundance?
He drives all around Massachusetts.
Oh, hence the 180,000 miles.
Right.
Man.
Well, he gets
a drug dealer or
unfortunately.
Or he's a reporter.
Oh, a reporter.
Really?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Amy, he's going to get the new car, and you're going to get stuck with the Heap.
Oh, really?
It's a bummer, huh?
Well, I mean, how else can we do it? I mean, you can't send him out in the Aerostar with 165,000 miles on it.
No, but how much life could it conceivably have left?
Well, if you're driving it 8 or 10,000 miles a year, it might go for another 3 months. You know, so...
So it's not ready for the graveyard yet.
I would do the rear brakes.
Okay.
Tune-up-wise, I would do the air filter. And the gas filter. I wouldn't change the plugs or the wires until it started to run badly.
Okay.
And your husband will get... Now, what is he going to get for a new car when he replaces the Sundance?
I don't know. Something not too expensive.
I think an Audi TT convertible would be good.
Yeah.
No. Then I will be going off to work, and he'll be staying home.
See you, Amy.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, Tommy, are you ready for your puzzler hints?
I'm ready to roll, man. Go.
Okay, here's the first one. The only way to kill a vampire is to drive a blank through his heart.
A Lincoln Navigator.
No, but that might work, too. I was looking for a stake.
A stake?
Stake.
Okay.
Here's the second one. Around Car Talk Plaza, you are known affectionately as the Big Blank.
I know that one, unfortunately, the Big Jerk.
I said affectionately.
Oh, the Big Kahuna.
There you go. The puzzler was about a stakeout of the Big Kahuna of a crime family, and we'll be back with that answer in just a minute.
I vaguely remember that puzzler.
When you take the wheel for the first time, you'll experience the fun of going places and doing things.
And you'll discover a whole new world of being on the move.
Driving a car can be an exciting thing. The world hurries by and you feel like a bird on the wing. But the hand that steers better know how to do it. You could be dead wrong if you should think there is nothing to it.
Support for Car Talk and NPR comes from our new fuel economy booster package featuring a Sawzall to remove unnecessary parts of the car and a 30-foot gasoline siphon from NPR, NPR member stations, and
Lumosity.com,
dedicated to improving memory and attention with neuroscience-based games for the brain.
At Lumosity.com. And
the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, dedicated to the idea that all people deserve the chance to live healthy, productive lives at GatesFoundation.org. And
Tire Rack, offering more than 500 tire models from 17 manufacturers. Learn more at TireRack.com.
And even though the Chicago Blackhawks hurl the Stanley Cup at their radios whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Support for Car Talk comes from Nashville Public Radio listener members, from the Bridgestone America's Trust Fund, dedicated to improving the lives of children in Middle Tennessee and across the Americas by supporting programs that promote education and the welfare of children. And support comes from Tennessee Farm Bureau Insurance, a local Tennessee insurance company with 170 offices in 135 communities, supporting local businesses and products in Tennessee. Information on local agents at FBITN.com.
The Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Collect, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler. And this puzzler was sent via email by someone named Tim Pugh, and the subject was the stakeout.
I remember it.
You do?
Something about two guys go together, or something. I forgot.
With puzzles like this, you always have to remember that all the hints are right here. You can't go looking for anything.
More than you could ever ask for.
Outside.
It's usually more hints than you could ever ask for.
No, there's just one hint. Here it is.
Yeah.
A detective is on a stakeout. He's watching a warehouse where he knows a bunch of crooks meet, but he wants to catch the boss, the kahuna, you know? So he's watching this warehouse from the second floor of a nearby building. And crooks come and go all night, but he decided to wait until the boss shows up to move in. Now, he doesn't know what the boss looks like. All he knows is that he always travels with two bodyguards, never just one, and that he'll be in a white car. Finally, a white two-door coupe pulls up, an Eldorado, I think.
Yeah.
There are only two men in the car, so he knows
that
the kahuna isn't with them.
Right.
They get out of the car and they go into the building. The detective waits. While waiting, he nods off for a few minutes. When he wakes up, the coupe is gone. He watches another half hour and falls asleep again. And when he finally wakes up for the ninth time, the same white coupe is back. He uses his binoculars to look into the car. Don't forget, he's in a warehouse across the alley. Mm. And he sees the car is empty. But he knows that the boss is inside. He calls back up. The joint is busted. They catch the big kahuna. How did he know?
You know what I think the hint is? I have no idea what the answer is, but you know what I think the hint is? The second floor.
Really? No, the hint is the two-door coupe. Because when he looks into the car after it arrives, it's empty. Don't forget, he wakes up, the car is there, but it's empty.
Yeah.
He notices that the seat back is pushed forward. It's a two-door car. The third person in the car
sneaked in while
was in the back seat and got out. So the kahuna was riding up front, of course. And the other bodyguard was in the back seat, and when the three of them got out, the seat back was pushed forward, and he said, "Now I know the big boss is in the building," because there were three people in the car this time, and not just two.
Oh,
so, do
man.
We have a winner?
Yeah.
Pretty good, huh?
Well, I do like it. I do like it.
Well, yeah. It's better than
boss. We have a winner. The winner is Michael Wilk from Quaker Hill, Connecticut, and for having his correct answer selected at random from the yacht full of correct answers that we got this week.
Yeah, we did.
Woof. Michael is going to get a $25 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at cartalk.com. With this $25 gift certificate, he can get a copy of our CD, Men Are From GM, Women Are From Ford, Calls About Couples and Cars.
Hey, look, we're going to have a new, I can't describe it yet because I haven't figured out which puzzle I'm going to use for the season finale.
I was wondering about that. It is the season finale.
Yeah. Well, you missed, this is the seventh game, man. You missed the playoffs. You missed everything.
I did.
So don't tune us out yet because that's coming up, baby. In the meantime, if you have a question about your car or anything else, give us a call at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Jane, it's been a long time.
Hi, guys. How are you doing?
Fine, good. Thanks. And yourself?
Pretty good.
Where are you from?
Well, I'm calling from a stump in a clear cut in the Umatilla National Forest in Oregon.
A stump in a clear cut?
Standing on a stump in a clear cut because it's right above camp on this hill, and I get really good reception from this one certain stump.
Really?
Yeah.
And what's a clear cut? That's like a place that's open because someone has cut down the trees? The
lumber
that's
company.
Right.
And she was there trying to save this tree, but she got there a day late and a dollar short. What are you doing there?
I'm doing timber stand exams. I'm an independent contractor for the Forest Service.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you have a question about lumber? Because you must know a lot about trees and the kind of harvesting that's being done.
Yes.
It seems that the wood you buy these days, i.e. like number two pine,
yep,
is junk.
Junk.
Well, compared to wood of yesteryear, which
you're
was
right,
like naturally grown wood in the forest.
Well, what they're doing now, what you used to be able to get in terms of lumber was the beautiful tight grained old growth.
Yeah, slow growth stuff, yeah.
Guess what? That stuff takes a long time to grow, and we cut it all down about 80 years ago.
And we can't make enough money if our the growth of the country is just so fast that we can't keep up.
That's it. Basically, we're cutting them down too fast. They can't grow fast enough.
All right, well, anyway. Now
thanks for calling, Jane. It's been nice talking to you.
But wait, I'm having car trouble.
Oh, okay. You are?
Yeah, I have a 94 Mazda B3000.
Yeah.
So I'll be driving around just fine, no problems. And then if it's a hot day, I'll shut the truck off. And if I start it up again and the engine's still hot, as soon as I start out and give it gas, it'll just lurch and buck down the road as if it's getting no gas and then too much gas and no gas. And, of course, you know, this isn't really very good if I pull out in front of a logging truck or something.
Yeah, oh, yeah, that's for sure.
And what happens is if I depress the clutch and let it sit for 45 seconds to a minute, it'll be fine, but first it has to go through this routine where it'll rev up to 4 on the tachometer as if it's getting too much gas, then back down to 1 and then up to 4 again, and I'm not doing anything to the gas pedal. I'm just sitting there, and the engine is revving all by itself.
Mmm,
I love it.
What we did was we took it to my mechanic in Bingen, Washington, and he plugged it into his computer, and it gave him 70 codes. 70.
You got troubles.
What is it?
Well, 70?
70 codes.
70 codes.
Well, here's what I think is going on.
Are you feeling fuel? Are you feeling...
gas. I'm feeling gas.
Gas? Or are you feeling... I know what I'm feeling.
Yeah?
I'm feeling nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing. Nothingness.
Oh, so there's nothing wrong.
No. I'm feeling vacuum.
No,
but my brother is not. I can tell from in the studio with him that he's feeling gas. Am I right?
No. I'm not feeling gas.
You're not.
I'm feeling electric.
Stop it.
Yeah, and here's what I think is going on.
Yeah,
I think the problem that you have is not going to be picked up by the scanner. Rather, the scanner is going to pick up all the things that are caused by this problem, all the misreadings.
Oh, yeah, well, that's sure.
And what I think is wrong is you have a bad ignition system.
Really?
Yeah, because when under what's called this hot soak condition, you run the truck, you shut it off, the heat that's under the hood gets sucked up by the electronic ignition components. And I would test each one of those individually, and you're going to find out that one of those is causing the problem. Because what's happening is the spark is being interrupted because this electronic ignition isn't working correctly. And when that happens, you're getting a very rich mixture being sent to the catalytic converter, and that in turn has an oxygen sensor in it, which is sending a signal back to the computer that says, I'm about to burn up because I'm getting too much uncombusted gas. Why am I getting that uncombusted
gas?
Because the spark isn't working all the time and burning that gas, and what it says is cut down on the gas and make the idle go up.
Uh-huh.
So it sends a signal to the idle air control, which boosts the idle speed so that the catalytic converter doesn't get melted. Uh-huh. So it's all this stuff. There's a synergy here that is all being affected by this one bad component.
You're a genius.
That could be, you know that? You know that?
Or it could be complete bull.
No, I mean, I considered bogus, but I have to say, I love it.
Well, there's a fine line between genius and bogus.
No, I think this is closer to genius.
Yeah, I think so.
You haven't given Jane any idea what's wrong with her car. But
don't forget,
nonetheless,
we're just here to steer the ship. I can't give you the exact piece. It's not allowed by the Geneva Convention.
Right.
But I can steer you in the right direction. It is in the ignition system of your truck.
Okay.
See you, Jane.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Keep up the good work.
I'm trying.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, do you know what time it is?
Time to sell off those old spark plugs, those 4th of July bottle rockets?
No. It's time to play Stump the Chumps. This is the part of the show where we check back on one of our callers to see if the advice we gave was so good, so, or...
So sue me! So who's our lucky player this week?
It's Michael from Niagara Falls, New York. His father-in-law's 1990 Lincoln Town Car was stalling out. Every time Pop took a slow, tight turn, the town car would die. So Popsy takes the car to his regular Italian mechanics, Sacco and Vanzetti, I think they were called, and they come up empty.
Geez, you'd think that a couple of paisans would be town car experts, wouldn't you?
Well, times have changed. Sacco and Vanzetti specialize in Lexus now. Anyway, Popso got so fed up with the car and with Michael's criticism of his mechanics that he finally said to Michael, here, if you can fix this car, you can have it.
A little testy, isn't he?
He's very confident that I won't be able to figure it out because I'm just a, you know, I'm a musician. I'm an opera singer. I don't know anything.
And we're pretty confident that we won't be able to figure it out either.
Well, here's what happened.
All right. It says here, we told Michael to check, you ready for this? The boost circuit that kicks up the engine idle when you turn hard at low speeds. We said it was probably faulty.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
It always sounds good before the caller comes on. Hey, Mike, are you there?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Hey, all right, before you tell us who owns the car now, we have to verify the following.
Well, number one, we have not spoken since your last appearance on Car Talk. Is that true?
That is correct.
And you have not been offered any cash prizes or other prizes by National Public Radio or the Sacco and Vanzetti Motor Car Company
for
a specific answer here today.
No, no, not in it.
All right, what happened? We can take it.
You were right.
Holy cow! Really?
You were absolutely
the idle up circuit wasn't working.
That was it. It was you said it was either loose or it was faulty and needed to be replaced, and it was faulty and needed to be replaced. Jeez. I wasn't, however, able to do it myself, which you also suggested would get me even more points. With
yeah, that would have gotten
but
you real points.
Wait, does this mean that you are the proud owner of a 1990 Lincoln Town Car?
Well, I'll tell you, I went to him after I took it down and I got it fixed, and the mechanic was also impressed with my the way that I just divined this answer. So, well, that's a good idea, and I felt very proud of myself. And
yeah.
I went to him, and I told him the whole story, and I told him that it had now been fixed. And he said, well, that's great.
Give me the keys.
Yeah. And I told him, what about giving me the car? And he said, you thought I was serious?
You mean an Italian who went back on his word?
He said, I was kidding. I never gave you that. But the truth is, he will actually allow me now. He entrusts me now to drive the car whenever I want to.
Well,
which is more along the lines of what he meant. And I think that means more to him than even having entrusted me with his daughter. So,
I see. What he meant was, if you can get this car fixed, you can have it.
Yeah.
For an afternoon.
Once in a while.
That's right. He didn't mean I could have it.
Sure. Right. So of course.
Next time, get it in writing.
Yeah, that's right. But I do want you to know that the mechanic who did eventually fix it and did a great job on it was also Italian. So I think the town car expertise is still...
It's still in the family, so to speak.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks a lot, Michael, and thanks for coming back on the show to make us look good for a little bit.
Okay, thanks, guys.
See you
bye.
Later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. If you hear someone on the show that you'd like us to bring back for Stump the Chumps, you can just email us the suggestion from cartalk.com. Do that,
will you? Or you can call us, and the number is 888-CAR-TALK. In fact, that's the same number that you can use if you want to call us about a question right
no!
now.
What are the chances of that?
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-782-7852-55. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Yeah, hi, this is John from Farmington, New Mexico.
Hi, John.
So what's up?
Hey, I've got a real complicated dilemma. Only you two can help me out.
Okay.
You hope.
We will do our best.
All right. I'm a technician at a dealership here.
Uh-oh.
And my ex-girlfriend calls, a couple days ago. This isn't just any ex-girlfriend. This is like the worst ex-girlfriend. I kind of call her my evil ex-girlfriend.
Well, thank God she's your ex-girlfriend.
But she calls still nonetheless.
Yeah. Because her Toyota pickup is, she can't turn the key in the ignition switch. The tumbler's messed up.
Uh-huh.
And, usually when I work on a friend's car or someone I know, I always cut them a deal.
Yeah.
My big question is...
what do you charge her?
What's the labor rate for ex-girlfriends?
Oh.
Evil ex-girlfriends.
Oh, man. You couldn't charge enough. I think the labor rate ought to be so outrageous. No, but what if
no,
he pays it?
No, that's transparent. See, I think what you ought to do is do it for no labor, but screw it up so bad. Never call you. Boy, this is a dilemma.
Wait, why is she calling you?
Well, she called and said, do I know any good technicians that work on Toyotas? And I said, yeah, me.
Well, that was a mistake, wasn't it?
I know.
She's your ex, and you want that to remain that way?
Yeah, I was in over my head before I knew it.
Yeah.
Oh, you're done for now.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
I think so. On the other hand, it's often the case that wires get crossed when these jobs are done. Cars burst into flame. You know, it doesn't happen right away. Do you have a current girlfriend?
Yeah.
What does she think about all of this?
Oh, she's not. She doesn't care much for this girl either.
Did she say, like, John, why are you doing this?
No.
Hmm.
And, you know, your ex-girlfriend's going to call you back. You think this is just
a
ruse, right.
Yeah. You think she's really trying to get back together with you?
Oh, no, no. She's actually kind of flaunting her new engagement ring.
Oh, she is?
Yeah.
Oh, so this is sort of just a friendly thing.
Yeah.
Charge her $50 and kiss, kiss her goodbye.
Yeah, I think
wish
so, too.
Wish her the best.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, all right. But, I mean, you're on the verge of getting into a lot of trouble.
Oh, yeah?
I would say, you know, as you know, I know a lot about women.
About exes. X's and O's. Most of the X's, though.
And she may, the current girlfriend may not have said anything about this, but you know she's thinking something about this.
Has this ever happened to you guys? X comes in?
We're not talking.
Okay.
Yeah.
We can't discuss it, but I would say that...
You want to call us after the show, we can...
get it over with as quickly and as delicately as you can. And next time, I think I would stay away. I would shy away from such jobs.
Yeah, and I just have to question your ex's motives here.
Yeah, I have to do that, too. I mean, something's up. This is a tangled web, John.
Yes.
This could turn so nasty.
This is a mess. We may be reading about you guys in the paper.
Something's up. All I can say is something is up.
Fix it. Charge her a fair price, but be on your guard.
Yeah. Get out of there.
Yeah, I move.
Good luck.
See you later, man.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, Tommy, it's time to take a short break so that stations can identify themselves.
And simultaneously deny any knowledge of how we managed to sneak onto their airwaves. Go to it, guys.
We'll be back in a minute.
I can feel that car was starting to lug. Driving to Spokane in a V-Bug. I was 20 years old and I made a mistake when I pulled onto the shoulder by Moses Lake. Well, some people tried to pull me with their Mitsubishis, but I was stuck in the mud by some invasive species. Then a tow truck came with a hitching bar and pulled me into town so they could fix my car. Fix my car so I can entertain. We need to make the gig in Coeur d'Alene. If it takes all night to say you're in a war, that'll be alright, but just fix my car.
Support for Car Talk on NPR comes to our annual 4th of July engine fire barbecue at the garage.
Mon Dieu!
From NPR, NPR member stations, and
Lumber Liquidators, hardwood, bamboo, and cork flooring with a Floor Finder app for iPad and iPhone. Learn more at lumberliquidators.com. And
the William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people. Online at wtgrantfoundation.org. And
CarMax, offering more than 35,000 used cars and trucks online and in stores from coast to coast. Learn more at CarMax.com.
And even though NPR's chief engineer shuts down the transmitter and blames it on a rolling blackout whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Collect, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the last puzzler of this current...
Of the season.
Puzzler season.
I can hardly wait.
Recently, after we finished one of our Car Talk shows, we and the rest of the Car Talk staff decided to go out for a few drinks and some buffalo wings. So the gang of us goes to a local eatery, and we sit down and we have a drink and some snacks. And just before the bill comes, my brother and I each go to the bathroom and climb out the window.
It was a coincidence. Hey, fancy meeting you here. Yeah. The restaurant was on the third floor.
That's why I always carry a rope.
We were in the hospital for months.
The bill comes, and it's $63.
Uh-huh.
Bugsy says, oh, those guys stiffed us. But look, if everyone throws in an extra $2, we'll cover the bill. So the question is, how many people were in the original group?
That sounds simple enough.
Sounds simple enough. Prove your answer.
Prove it.
Prove that there's only one answer. Oh. Now, if you think you know the answer, write it.
These are the hardest kind.
That's always...
Pardon the pronunciation, but I call him Fermat. And everyone else calls him Fermat. But that's basically what his problem was. Prove that this is the only thing.
Yeah, it's easy to hypothesize.
Sure.
It's easy to generalize. It's easy to stereotype.
And it's not easy to climb out the bathroom window.
especially with my brother on my back. Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on a postcard or etch it into the shell of a diamond and ruby encrusted Fabergé egg. and send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238. Or you can email your answer from cartalk.com. If you'd like to call us, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8555. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Josh calling from Darby, Montana.
Josh.
Darby? Yeah.
Darby.
Darby with a V.
Darby with a B.
As B as in baby?
This is Delta.
B as in baby, just like that.
Yeah. Delta, Alpha, Romeo, Bravo.
Bravo.
Yankee.
This is a Bravo. So what's up, Josh?
Well, I'm down here running around the muck studying birds, and I have this this little Toyota truck.
You a grad student of some kind?
I'm a grad student.
I mean, are you an ornithology major?
Well, I'm an ecology major, but I'm studying birds.
Okay.
Birds.
Indeed. Ooh, I almost got hit by one.
That wasn't a bird.
They don't like me so much.
Was it in the back of the head? That's a dope slap. Is your mother around? Okay,
no.
So you're studying birds, and you're an ecology major, and you got a Toyota truck, and that's
it's
all we
know. It's a wonderful little truck. It's called Old Paint.
Old Paint. Okay.
Old Paint. We'll just do that for now. Old Paint is a great little truck. It's a 1980 Toyota. I've had him for about 3 years, and he's just about 130,000 miles, just breaking into middle age.
Yeah.
And he's got this little teeny tinkle underneath him, a little rattle. It's right underneath the seat, so I thought I'd do a little road testing to try and figure out what was hitting the road or loose or something like that.
I have a puppy that tinkles unexpectedly like that.
Yeah, so does Old Paint. He's, it's just a tink, 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 and... what I've been doing is trying to figure out what it is, so I'll drive along real slow on these, Montana roads that are all straight, and look underneath. But
let me get this now. It only makes the noise when you're in motion.
Yes.
And you're driving along with the door open.
Well, I have to open the door to see underneath the vehicle.
So you're driving along with your head hanging out the vehicle.
Well, it's kind of like driving through a rearview mirror. You just have to reverse the direction of the wheel by looking at the grass strips. And you can get along pretty well that way at low speeds.
I got it.
Yeah.
Not that I've ever done it, but I got it.
And we were worried about the no speed limit in Montana. We were worried about that. Were we worried about guys like Josh hanging out the side of the truck? No, we didn't even think of that.
No.
It never occurred to us.
I didn't think so. Well, I figured I should call you guys before I have to do it at higher speeds on bigger roads.
Yes. Yeah, so there you are, looking underneath, and you can't see diddly.
I can't see diddly, nothing's hitting the road.
With your perspective down there, where do you think the noise is coming from? Is it right from the center of the truck?
Yeah,
is it toward the front?
Forward of the seats. So
just forward of the seats.
This noise seems to be coincident with going over little bumps.
No, that's what's weird.
Ah,
it happens both on smooth roads and on bumpy roads.
And it's continuous.
And it's not actually continuous. It'll happen some of the time, and sometimes it'll just start, and then it'll just stop.
But when it happens, increasing your speed doesn't increase the frequency of it.
No, it just continues to go like that. No.
Oh, that's fast.
Well, pretty fast. Yeah, like it's not completely that regular. You know, ding 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 ding.
Okay. Okay. Now you're getting good.
Can you make it go away at all by stepping on the brake while it's happening?
It doesn't seem to go away when I step on the brake, although I haven't tested that specifically.
All right, well, here's what I think it is. I think it's something rather simple, and I suspect it's a piece of loose hardware on the exhaust system.
On the exhaust system? Oh, that's good.
Yeah, there are a bunch of brackets that suspend the exhaust system.
Yep, and I looked at those. I went underneath the truck.
Looking isn't going to tell you much.
When I was stopped.
Did you touch any of them?
Uh-huh.
Did you bang on the muffler and whatever while you were...
It would come off if I did that, but...
that's a clue.
I've checked all the little brackets near the front, and I can't find anything there.
Well, don't assume that the noise is coming from where you think it is.
Okay.
Because it could be coming from any place else and telegraphing through the components of the exhaust system.
Got it.
So what you've got to do is get under there and start banging with your closed fist.
Oh.
Do it when the engine's cold, because you'll burn yourself on the exhaust system.
Uh-huh.
On the other hand, if it only happens when the engine is hot, you may have to warm the thing up. And then put a glove on and bang on it.
Okay.
You may be able to reproduce the sound. And you can also bang on the drive shaft. You could have a bad universal joint, for example.
And that's a more major thing, is it not?
Well, it's
somewhat.
It's somewhat more major in that it could fail, but you could easily have a seized universal joint.
A seized universal?
Do you notice, for example, that at high speed, and I'm sure you have had occasion to drive at high speed in Montana,
being in Montana,
that the whole truck rumbles?
Not more so than in general.
Okay.
It doesn't go that high of a speed. It's a 1980.
Okay. You don't notice a new vibration when you're doing 60.
No, not a new vibration.
I mean, when you slow down to 60.
Nope, no new vibration.
No new vibration.
Yeah, there's a loose clamp or something. It's going to be something simple.
Yeah, it's simple.
And when you hit the thing hard enough, the affected piece will just fall off and the noise will go
and the
away.
Noise will go away.
The noise will go away. I don't want to have it anymore. Good. That'll do it.
Yeah. But don't go... Maybe I shouldn't say anything.
You don't think my road testing technique's very good.
Never mind. Yeah. No,
yeah, you might win the Darwin Award.
There's a certain kind of Darwinism at work here that, you know, you really can't dispute. So
true.
It's been nice talking to you. We may never talk again.
Indeed, it's possible.
It is.
See you, Josh.
Good luck.
Okay, take care.
Bye. Bye-bye. Driving with... I will admit that I've done the same thing on occasion.
It is crazy, though, isn't it?
It is crazy.
Now, I just want
you to know, I only do these
is
things.
Is there a woman on the planet who would do that? Would one of them open the door at any speed and try to get her head underneath the car to look and see what's under there while she's moving?
Well, there might
be. If there is, I want to meet that woman.
Well, it's well known that the men have been the adventurers. It is we guys.
Speaking of which, I have in my pocket an interesting little tidbit, and I knew we'd have opportunity to discuss this. Heredity theory says intelligence in males is like mother like son. Sorry, Dad, you may be responsible for your son's big nose, but all the credit for the kid's genius goes to his mother. What things? I mean, it goes on to explain that the genes, but you get double genius, but and so the intelligence of men is purely a function of the intelligence of the mother. Now, isn't that something for our family to be embarrassed about? And I always thought that my mother was okay, but now she realizes that she personally is responsible for this.
For you.
Isn't that interesting?
It is kind of.
And it also explains genius. I mean, it says that most of what we refer to as geniuses in the world are men. When a female is born, she gets her intelligence from both mother and father, so it gets to be somewhat diluted. If there was a genius gene, it gets diluted. But there are also, as we know, therefore, more male morons.
Yes, that also gets
MMS, male moron syndrome, which unfortunately we suffer from.
So we either fall into one of two categories, either geniuses or morons.
Or morons.
There's no question which category we're in. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
I'm Sarah Adams from Streetsboro, Ohio.
Hi, Sarah. From where?
Streetsboro,
Ohio. Sarah?
Streetsboro.
Yes.
With an O?
Just with an O, none of that English UGH stuff.
Yeah.
Streetsboro.
You know,
now you
totally American.
You said that as though we should have heard of Streetsboro before.
Well, it's nowhere between Cleveland and Akron.
Oh.
So you shouldn't have heard of it.
You are really in the middle of nowhere.
Really, we are.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's bad when they have to name your city after a street.
Is it, though?
Yeah, it's pretty sad.
Yeah. Wow.
So anyway.
Okay, well.
Well.
What's up, Sarah?
Well, I have a 96 Chevy Tahoe. The question is, where would a chicken hide on the exterior of the car?
On the other side of the street. Huh? Where? So you mean as you're driving along, you can hear a chicken?
I mean, doesn't anyone screen these calls anymore?
I'm so worried I have a stowaway because this one time our chicken took quite a ride, and I don't know where she's hiding and how did she get there and how do I know when I have her? And when am I taking her?
Wait, can we back up a little here?
I get the scenario. Sarah has parked the vehicle.
Yeah.
Chicken.
Well, we left the garage when it was dark.
What garage?
Our garage.
From your house.
So a chicken obviously puts herself to bed at night the night before.
Yeah.
Okay, so we left early when it's dark to go to the airport for my daughter's field trip.
Yeah.
All right. It's February and it's cold. We hear nothing. We see nothing.
Yeah.
We get to the airport. I'm there an hour or so.
And you hear?
At the airport. Now, when I come back to my car, I see nothing. I hear nothing. But the light, the sun has come up.
Yeah.
During which time, normally, a chicken gets up. She gets herself up out of the barn. Okay, so then I drive, again, 65 miles an hour, but I stop at church. Huh? I go into the church, and within minutes, people come in and say, Sarah, your chicken is in the parking lot.
Oh, I think it's obvious.
How did she do that?
I think your chicken just went to church. I think you're assuming that the chicken went to the airport with you, but the chicken probably just walked to church.
No, not 2 miles. She never goes past the barn.
Well, the chicken, if it really is your chicken. I mean, when you got home.
Well, I knew it was because her comb froze a little bit. It was so cold, and it had grayed out a little bit before it fell off.
Ah.
So I knew it was Edna.
Yeah, and she answered when you called her, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
well,
Edna, and she looked at you. Sure. I mean, any chicken.
And immediately I suspected my husband, but he's totally innocent, and we don't know where was she on the car, and when will she do it again?
Well, I know where she was.
I do, too.
She's under the hood.
Yeah.
But
there's no place.
Guys say she'd be sucked into the fan or the fan belt or whatever.
No.
What guys? Who says?
We're landscapers, and all the guys had quite a lot of discussion about where she would be.
Well, these guys that know everything.
Quite a lot of discussion, and the guys said no way under the hood.
Well, under the hood of that Tahoe, there are plenty of places for your chicken to roost.
So to speak.
65 miles an hour?
Well, once she's under there.
She ain't going to fly out once you're moving.
I mean, you could go 200 miles an hour.
All right, so I have to check under the hood for Edna to see if she's
I think there's no question that Edna is being attracted to the warmth under the hood.
Sure, you pulled into the garage in the evening. The engine was warm. She was cold, and she said, "Oh, it's nice and warm under here." And she climbed up under something, who knows what, in the engine compartment there, and she nestled down. And all of a sudden, there you were driving away. Cats do this all the time.
Yeah, she may be sitting on the master cylinder or some such thing.
There
are plenty of places for her to sit.
No kidding.
Absolutely. And she wouldn't get sucked into the fan. Don't forget, if she's on the downside of the wind, the wind from the fan would tend to blow her against the firewall. She may be smushed against the firewall as you're going 65 miles an hour.
All right, so check under the hood if I'm suspicious, if the garage door has been left open.
Exactly.
Got it.
She clearly needs a warmer place to stay. I mean, you're not providing enough.
Well, she loves the barn. Now, we never got her. She just showed up, you know.
The SPCC is going to be
She was looking for a fine home, and she loves it here.
Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Chickens.
I was working on that.
I knew you were with me on that.
So
She greets the customers when they come in and struts around the parking lot and looks cool and escorts some people to the door.
How long have you been out of the home, Sarah?
And is it just on weekends that they let you out?
Do they let you out like every day or what?
daily.
It's a pleasure to talk to you, Sarah.
Thanks.
See ya.
Bye.
Oh, boy, oh, boy. Well, look, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mayor, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman, and our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from his picture-perfect performance at the Pocatello Pulled Pork and Polka Promenade, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marjan Overa. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our director of allergy research is Teresa Pollinating. Our director of roadway resurfacing is Sylvia Potholy. Our sexual harassment investigator is Hank Pankey. Our New York-based dispute settlement coordinator is You Talking to Me. Our meteorologist...
You Talking to Me?
Our meteorologist from the New Delhi office is Luke Outavindo. Our Elvis impersonator from the Cairo office is Amal Shukup. Our director of summer visits to the in-laws is Don Juan Go. Our Russian gas station attendant is Philip Antopitov. Our Russian chauffeur is Pikoff and Dropoff. And our seat cushion tester is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Louis Dewey. Known to the Cambridge Police Department Special Bongo Noise Abatement Unit in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And remember... Don't drive like my brother.
Remember, don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1326, download classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our 25th anniversary swag all over at cartalk.com. where you can learn about an easy way to get rid of your old car while helping your favorite radio station.
Great timing. I always get rid of my old cars in the summer.
And why is that, pray tell?
Well, you ever tried driving a car into a frozen river? It's not easy to do that.
Support your local NPR station and get a tax deduction with the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program. Info is available all week at cartalk.com. Support for Car Talk and NPR comes from NPR member stations and...
Esurance.
Insurance for the modern world. They offer online and mobile car insurance tools to guide customers from quote to claim. Hey, in this modern world of theirs, you think we have brains?
It's a modern world, not a fantasy world.
Esurance, an Allstate company. And...
The Melville Charitable Trust, supporting solutions to prevent and end homelessness. On the web at melvilletrust.org.
And Sit for Life and Herman Miller, featuring the Aeron chair, including the true black color. Sit for Less is now sitforlife.com. And
OmbuWeb,
the web programmers from Oregon, keeping the lights on and service humming at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Mr. Potato Head wishes some kind child would pull his ears off whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.
This is 90.3 WPLN, Nashville Public Radio, 91.5 WTML, Tullahoma, and 91.7 WHRS, Cookeville. You can find a complete schedule of all our programs and listen to a live stream of any of our program channels at WPLN.org. It's 10 o'clock.